Hi, Laura. Welcome to Retronix Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here with you.
I'm so happy to chat with you. Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I got my writing start as a newspaper reporter. After graduation, I moved to the Chicago area and I was covering news. And when I was a new reporter, I really enjoyed when I would have holidays or weekends, they would send me to cover just any news events that happened. And I really enjoyed covering the hard news stories. If there was a fire, a robbery, maybe there was a kidnapping, whatever was happening, I would have to go cover that. And I liked talking to the police and the investigators and learning about the solving crimes. And so when I started trying to write fiction, I thought that would be a fun place to start. I really wanted to write crime fiction.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got started.
I love this. A fun fact about myself is that actually I worked for private insurance as an investigator. So white collar. I do the sleuthing and the stuff, you know.
That is great.
So I love reading about crime fiction because I do interact with former law enforcement and actual law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, how to make a case. And I love that you're diving into DNA detectives, like in other books, and they're diving into small town crime fiction, like. So it gives you a sense of it. So what was like you from that experience, because you're a journalist, so you love interviewing. What's your favorite part of gathering that the experience to write this as realistic as we can? Because every case is different.
Every case is different. And I usually start with the people because I really think that's kind of the heart of your story is the characters that you're writing about. And so when I'm starting a new story, a new book, I kind of zero in on what is my central character? What do they do? And in this case, she's a police officer. I want to interview people in that job. I want to find out about their day to day. I've done police ride-alongs, interviewing investigators, interviewing crime scene investigators, which is a different specialty. And I just love to talk to people. And I think that's kind of left over from my reporter days that I like to go talk to people, especially in person. Now, you can do a lot of research on the internet and you can do a lot just on the phone, but to really get a feel for a person and their world and the day-to-day that they live in, it's best to go talk to them in person. And so I love to do that. And I had a lot of fun researching this book, Innocence Road, because it's set in far west Texas. It's a fictional setting called Madrone. It's a small town, but it's inspired by a real small town in Texas called Marfa.
Yep.
And if you've never visited Marfa or you've never visited the Big Bend area, it's a really amazing place. It's this very severe beauty. It's very vast and empty.
Yeah.
And it's this arid desert. And so the topography is beautiful and Big Bend National Park is beautiful. And hiking around there is beautiful, but it's very rugged. There's not a lot of people. There's a lot of places where you're not going to get cell phone service. I wanted to weave all those things into the story somehow. So that was fun. I really loved being out there and kind of absorbing the setting that I wanted to put into the story.
Yeah. My experience with Marfa was actually like a few years ago, there was a lot of influencers going to this high-end store in the middle of this town.
The Prada store?
Yeah, yes. It looks like this. I don't know. There's like, you're there. It's West Texas.
Yes.
It's rugged.
It's very Prada full of store. Contradictions because on one hand, it's this very remote area with a very few people live there. And it's just this vast desert landscape. But they have this, Marfa's this tiny little town, and they've got an art scene. They've got live music, and they've got art galleries and installations, and they just got this vibrant art scene. The thing that you're talking about is one of their magnets for tourism. They have glamping hotels and a lot of camping out there. So it's kind of a tourist destination, oddly enough, because it's so small. And it's also at the gateway to Big Bend National Park and some other parks. And so they get a lot of people that are on their way to the parks. And then they take a little detour and go to Marfa. And so that whole geography kind of played into the story, too, and part of the mystery of the story. It's a murder mystery, and I wanted to kind of have the setting be part of the whole story. So that's what I did.
Yeah. So did you, you went to visit, see the sights and scenes and everything?
Yeah. I got to eat the burritos and drink the margaritas and talk to people that work in the coffee shops and go to the bars and all these places kind of inspired different settings in the book, different things that happened in the book. So that's one of the fun things about doing it in person is that you get all these surprise inspirations.
Yeah.
If you do everything over the phone or just do it on the internet, you're not going to encounter all these unexpected things that can be part of your story if you weave it in.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
So taking into the idea of the story first and then coming out building this body research and writing, because it's more, I think for you, it's much more lived experience writing, like you're actually experiencing from your experience and then infusing into writing. How long does it take from idea to actual production of the book? I'm not even talking about publishing, because publishing takes
that's a whole other process.
How long does it take for you? Or do you have different ideas marinating and you're just like letting it just work with it?
It can take anywhere from 6 months to a year. This one took about a year because I kind of really wanted to get out there and do, like I said, a lot of in-person research and then kind of come back and sift through all my photographs and my ideas and kind of come together with a plot that I wanted. But, you know, I start with an idea. I start with a pretty detailed outline about my characters and the story. But what happens is, as I'm writing along, things change and there will be kind of unexpected twists and turns. And that can take a little longer, but I try to use my gut instincts on the story. If I feel like the pace is too slow, then I want to make it faster. If I feel like it's getting too much action, I want to kind of take a pause and let's absorb some things. Pacing is important if you're writing suspense. And so that's part of the process, is trying to keep the pacing how you want it.
Yeah. So you actually wrote in crime fiction, but you wrote romantic suspense.
That's right.
Romance and then suspense. And then this is a thriller, not suspense. What is, like, how do you pace? Because in romance and suspense, you have two competing plot lines. You have the internal conversation between the two characters and falling in love, and then the external conflict that's happening and whatever it's going to, the stakes are higher. How do you balance both of them and then moving forward?
Yeah. Well, romantic suspense, I've written a lot of romantic suspense novels, and it can actually help you with pacing, because when you have these action scenes where something is happening with your suspense plot, they're doing investigation and they're uncovering new clues. You can have some quieter moments where they're mulling over the clues, but they're also kind of getting to know each other better. Usually the characters are, maybe they're falling in love, or maybe they're not falling in love at all. They're fighting and they're headbutting, but it's more of an emotional plot line that you're going with. So you kind of toggle back and forth between the suspense of what's going to happen with these two characters and the suspense of what's going to happen with the story and the investigation. And so you kind of go back and forth. With the straight suspense, like this book, Innocence Road, is a thriller. I mean, there's certainly relationships in the story. You get to know more about her relationships with her family. And there is a little bit of a underlying romance, because one of her ex-boyfriends is another cop in her area that is kind of helping her with the investigation. So there's a little bit of tension there. The focal point of the story is this unfolding mystery of what happened with the cold case many years ago, that they've recently learned that the man who was convicted of a murder many years ago in their small town has been released from prison after new evidence came to light and he was exonerated. There's a current mystery of a new murder investigation. There's an unidentified victim on the outskirts of town. And Leanne Everhart, the protagonist, she's trying to figure out what's going on. And as she gets more and more into her investigation, she learns that the two crimes are connected. And so that's unfolding as you move along.
Yes. And so what's your writing process? Do you do a murder wall, like of some sort, or have like post-its? I'm like, okay. Because I think when you talk about thrillers and suspense, you have to think about red herrings. You have to think about plot twists. You have to think about chapters that are compulsively readable chapters. So you kind of have to, working with the pacing. Do you act like a detective? And that's some fears where the thing is, and let me connect the dots and let me just take things outside of the order.
Well, usually when I'm working on a new book, I love to have two boards. One, I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
And so when I go research a place or research a character and I'm out there, I love to take pictures and have the storyboard with all these pictures on it. Some of it's photographs that I took. Others, it might be clippings from magazines, the clippings of the setting, maybe the truck they drive or whatever it is, but something from the story, the setting, the people. And so I've got a visual storyboard. And then in addition, I've got more of a plot storyboard. And that one is note cards. And I write down little things about what's going to happen in the plot, and I can move them around. And that's that helps me keep the pacing moving. Because if I feel like there's too many slow things happening, I'll kind of move around some things. And it also, when you're writing suspense, some of those small details turn out to be really important to your plot, and they might be little twists in the story. So it's, you want to keep track of those details so that they can kind of come back later and you can tie up the loose ends. And then even when you're writing suspense, one of the important things is, when are you going to reveal information?
Mm-hmm.
And I love to read suspense, and I love to read mysteries and intrigue and anything with kind of the story poses like a question. It's an investigation, or there's some, like, something happened and they're trying to understand puzzles. But you want to pace out your reveals. And as a reader, I don't like it when I get to the end of the story and everything is revealed all at once and there weren't a whole lot of clues. It just kind of comes out of nowhere. So it's important to put the clues in, but not in such a way that it's all very obvious what happened. But you want to make some surprises in there.
That's why you're a writer. That's where you're finding area. Because I'm like, as someone who does this for a living, you're like, sometimes it's the answer is the most simplest answer. And sometimes it's, you'll be surprised with it. It's just like you have to connect the dots. But yeah, I think as a writer, there is the magic of giving you clues, giving you Easter eggs, giving you places. And then having the reader work for it too, mm-hmm. a lot with the character and be surprised. Yes. Not just the reader knowing the answer of the character.
Well, I mean, as a reader myself, I love to be surprised at the end.
Yeah.
But then what I really love is when I'm surprised, but then when I think back on the story and I go back and reflect on the clues were there and I maybe didn't see how they all fit together, but they were right there.
Yes.
That's what I love. If an author can pull that off, I'm really impressed.
All right. So Laura, tell us what kind of books do you tend to read? And you mentioned you read mysteries, crime fiction, mm-hmm. specifics, maybe I'm assuming you like some romance. Do you understand romantic plot? But what's your go-to for reading?
Well, I kind of read everything. I love to read, and it just depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I love to read romance, historical fiction, true crime, crime fiction. When I'm researching a new book, I find myself reading a lot of true crime or maybe some forensic, things like that. Nonfiction, I might read a biography. I have a couple of books where the hero is a former military. And so I had to learn all about that because I wasn't in the military and I don't have any close family members. So I launched into a big research project researching Navy SEALs and Army Rangers and all these different parts of the military. So I might research a character, or I have a series, the Tracer series, and it's very focused on a forensic crime lab. That's kind of the overarching theme of the series. And each book focuses on a different set of characters who are trying to solve an investigation. And they're using the forensic technology to help solve the crime. I might learn about a forensic anthropologist or a DNA specialist or a ballistic specialist, and they might be part of the story. And so then I'm researching that. So I do some research books, and then I just love to read for fun. I'll read something light. I'll read a rom-com. I'll read something a friend of mine wrote. Sometimes people send me books to blurb. And that's all. It's all fun.
It's so fun. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners? Because after the read your backlist, you do have a healthy backlist for readers who are looking for romantic suspense, your thrillers, and everything in between. So it's a great place. But do you have any ones to recommend our listeners too?
Well, one of the best suspense books I've read in quite a while was Karen Slaughter's new book. I don't know if you've read her, but she's amazing. She has a new book called We Are All Guilty Here.
Yes.
And I got to interview her about her book at one of her book events that was here in Austin where I live. She's just amazing. She really comes up with this rich cast of characters. Even when the book finished, I was just dying to read more about the characters because I felt like there were so many unanswered questions about some of the secondary characters. Of course, it's the start of a series, so we're going to learn more about them in other books. So that's always fun when there's future books. Karen Slaughter is really amazing. One of my friends, Julia London, if you're in the mood for something lighter, my friend Julia London just had a release, and it's a rom-com and it's a Christmas book. And it's called While It Was Snowing. So it's more along the lines of light, kind of get into the holiday spirit, kind of a read. Well, let's see what else. I'm reading the new Ava Glass novel that's coming out in 2026. She asked me if I would read an advanced copy of that. So I'm reading that now. And what else? I mean, my TV Read stack is really tall. I've got a book there that so many people have recommended to me. Maybe you have read it. It's called Atmosphere by Tara Jenkins Reid.
Yes.
And so I'm looking forward to that because I read her book, Daisy Jones and the Six, and loved it. there's always a big stack on my night table, and I try to, it's between projects, I'll launch and do catching up on my reading.
Yeah. Well, Atmosphere just has some tissues because you're
gonna... Oh, you've read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everyone said it was a ride. It was emotional.
It was weird. It was like, okay, we're going to have details and stuff. I love Karen's like writing. Like, it's just, it's dark and it's done so right.
Like, yeah.
It's you on your toes. So,
yes. This is a book. It's been a long time since I read a book where I was reading along and I turned the page and I just gasped. I was like, what? And when someone can pull that off, I mean, that's amazing. So I was just... I've been recommending it to everyone because it was a really gripping story.
Yes. I think that's like a book along with your book. Like, the books are like, you should definitely read if you're in that darker, like gritty mood and space.
Yeah, they're dark, but very well done.
Yes. Awesome. Laura, tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, online. Well, I'm on social media. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and all my little buttons are on my website. LauraGriffin.com. So you can reach out there, and I love to hear from readers. So reach out and love to hear from people.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura, for being the show.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for listening to The What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit thewhattorenextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.